It was while they were on this journey that Mary gave birth to their first child, Sarah. Jesus, Mary, and Philip spent almost another year and a half in India and Kashmir, teaching to any who would listen. Knowing that they had to meet Joseph and wanting to see his mother again, they made their way back to Ephesus. They spent another few weeks in Ephesus before Joseph arrived by ship. They then packed their belongings and set sail to the west. They stopped in Greece and Italy for a time, and even went to Britain to Joseph's Christian settlement. They finally made their way to France, landing near Marseille. After traveling for a while in France, they eventually settled in southern France in the area of Rennes-le-Château. The reason that they settled in France is vague, except my guide said he was led there. Even though they settled around Rennes-le-Château, they moved and taught throughout the area and the whole Languedoc region. We know that at least one large community of Gnostics, the Cathars, also not by coincidence, settled there. We also know that many of the secret societies, like the Priory of Sion, the Freemasons, and the Knights Templar, seem to have roots either in France or England. Why there? This is self-explanatory, especially if they were trying to protect the descendants of the royal families started by Jesus and Mary Magdalene. The Knights Templar for many years owned lands and a large castle in the region and had tremendous influence on the people. In medieval times, Cathars in the area were winning droves of converts from the Catholic Church in such numbers that the church waged a crusade against them and wiped almost all of them out. The whole of the Languedoc region was considered to be Gnostic in nature, and the Gnostics gained great footholds there, because in their heyday, they were protected by the Knights Templar and the nobility in the region. Some historians have just Mary Magdalene, Sarah, whom they called the Egyptian, and Joseph of Arimathea landing on French soil, but definitely Jesus, Philip, and James were also with them. Francine says Jesus took the name of David Albengenton as part of his new identity. Since no one in France had ever seen Jesus, and certainly at this early date didn't know what had happened in Galilee, Nazareth, Bethlehem, or Jerusalem, Jesus was safely starting his new life in another country. I'm not sure that many of them even knew these places existed. Remember, in those days, they still believed the world was flat, and if you sailed too far, you fell off the earth. Only in the late 15th century, with Columbus, and into the 16th century, did explorers prove you could sail around the unknown world. Sarah was a very young girl, but they had another girl, Esther, and two boys later. Mary Magdalene also had several miscarriages. Jesus kept a low profile for the most part, but did convert many around him in the local area with his teachings, and they would become the future Gnostics, who kept his secret to their deaths. The so-called Holy Grail was Magdalene's womb that carried their offspring of royal blood, or sangreal, which translated means either sacred blood, or royal blood, or kingly blood. In the medieval period, the Holy Grail was oftentimes called sangreal or sangreal, meaning holy grail or holy dish. Depending on how you split the word sangreal, you come up with two fascinating interpretations. Jesus was around 35 or 36 then, and Mary Magdalene was around 23 or 24. Magdalene went out to preach Christ's teachings, and many call her the first pope, not Peter. Even today in France, they have the Church of the Magdalene at Rennes-le-Château, as well as in many other places throughout the world. Now, if they didn't give honor to her or think she was saint-like, they certainly wouldn't have built a church to her. Most popes didn't even get that privilege. Churches are relegated to saints, so they must have thought highly of her. Theologians in the church had discussed her for many years, and she was vilified as early as the 3rd century by Hippolytus as being the woman who was a sinner and harlot. Pope Gregory I in 591 also confirmed this, and she was considered by the Catholic Church to be a repentant sinner until 1969, when the Church decided, in a very unpublicized move, to admit their mistake in the Second Vatican Council, Vatican II, and declared she was not a sinner of any kind. Magdalene was never canonized as a saint by the Church, but is considered one under what the Catholic Church calls a sense of the faithful. Canonization was not adopted and implemented by the Catholic Church until the 10th century, so before that time, saints were made by public opinion and veneration, which is called the sense of the faithful. Mary Magdalene falls into this category, and she was especially venerated in France. Several churches were built and named for her there in medieval times.